You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Adjust your camera, Dante, for 1 second. Dante, whenever you want to go start talking for a couple seconds. And then...
All right. What's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. We have a special show today. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. Harry, what's going on? You ready to rock and roll?
Oh, you know I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm still working on my catchphrases for 2021.
Okay, you came up with anything? You
Death
up
to America? Is that one that we came
up with? Oh, that's not one. Yeah, I mean, I like it, but
it's been taken way too many times.
Oh, yeah. It's copyrighted? I got
it's almost hack at this stage now. There's a bunch of people in the cave right now going, check out this guy.
There's a dude in the cave going, this motherfucker stole my shit. He's the Carlos Mencia of terrorism. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no good catchphrase? All right, I'll go back to the drawing board. Gotta go back to the drawing board.
Go back. You had another one. What was the other one you had?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'd have to find it.
He was like all the way in or something like
yeah.
that.
I remember laying boots. I'm here laying boots to bitches.
I'm here laying boots to yeah, that was not good either.
I thought that one was the best one. But.
That's debatable. Let me introduce my guest. My guest in the building, good friend of mine, funny, funny dude, comic, works all over the city, has a podcast called Cheaper Than Therapy. Check it out for Mick Thomas, y'all. Give it up for Mick.
Thanks, good to have you here, bro.
Thanks for having me, man.
Finally excited to get, to be able to get this to work, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, for a couple months now, so it's good to have you on. What's dope is, it's funny, I don't know if you noticed, but I do relationship consulting, right? And right. I just got a call from a dude in Ireland the other day. You probably know him. I don't know.
Probably. It's that small.
His name is Patrick. Okay. So you probably know him.
So you've narrowed it down to four people. That's fine.
And he has another cousin named Patrick. So, so you should be able to find him.
He also has a sister named Patrick. So, but yeah, it's interesting because, he was having problems with his relationship. And what I was, one of the things that I think is interesting is that there's two dynamics I find in Europe. Number one, women, on a base level, they are kind of raised to take care of their men. Yes, like it's a base level.
Kind of, almost. But you have to be grateful for it. If you're not grateful for it, then it's the end of the world. You know what I mean? Like you have to be kind of like appreciative, or right. not. You're going to hear about it. I mean, you're going to hear about it anyway. Listen, Ireland. Listen, there's a pub in Ireland to this day that still doesn't allow women in it.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a tour you can take in Ennis in Ireland. It's a tour that tourists will go on, and it shows what happens to women who nag too much. So I wouldn't put that much stock in how great Irish girls are, to be honest with you. When there's a generation of people that, you know, there's a whole generation of us that's trying to keep them out of everything. So I don't know.
Well, what do you think the lack of progressiveness is comes? Do you think it comes from the church?
Definitely the church. Everything is the church. Every last thing is the church.
Yeah.
I remember being in school, and it's like, if you got in trouble, you got sent to the principal. Anything higher than the principal was a priest, and then you knew you're in trouble.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like the principal handled first level stuff.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then if you got really bad, like if you were like the Nino Brown of of messing around in school, you were gone right to the priest, and that's where it got serious. You know what I mean?
I'm going to tell you, I was able to smash a couple of Irish girls simply because there was this kind of resurgence. I mean, so I don't know. How long you been here?
About 15, 16 years.
Okay. Were you around when the Boston was open, the Boston Comedy Club?
I don't think so. Maybe. I mean, whenever it closed, I don't know.
You know where it was, right? It was Wester. Do you remember when it was the Comedy Village, or you don't remember that either?
No, I don't. I don't remember that.
Okay, so underneath it was the Bag It In, which was this Irish pub.
Okay.
And there were all these Irish girls in there. And it's like, first of all, an Irish chick will punch you in the fucking mouth. Like, I've seen them punch a dude in the fucking mouth, like, just straight up.
Yeah, they do like to throw punches to start, but like over here, American women will say shit like, "My man will fuck you up," and you're like, "Wait, what? What am I doing?" Right? And then whereas in Ireland, they'll walk up and it's just fucking clock, and like, "Oh fuck, now number one, you have to break this fight up, and then you have to continue." Like, she almost tagged you in without tagging you in. Like, remember you watch wrestling?
Yeah.
And a guy goes back into the rope and he tags the guy.
Smacks him on the back.
Yeah, that's what it's like. But you're like, fuck, now I got to clean up this mess.
Well, it's funny because I remember a couple of times me getting laid because they were talking about the church. That church doesn't tell me what to do with my body. I go, you're right. You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
You should not tell the church, I'll fuck whoever I want to fuck. And I'm like, yeah.
Damn straight. Damn straight.
That's it. You are the best way to make a protest.
And like, you know what? You know what? Also, you don't need the church telling you need condoms. Screw that.
Right.
Be your own person. You don't.
Under what science are you basing this on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That condoms are a sin.
I'm like, I got an idea to get back into church. I mean, I'm just going to say, me. I think they'd really pay for it, huh?
That's it.
You're right.
But the one thing I like is it's so funny because Ireland is kind of known for the strife between the Catholics and the Protestants. But the one thing they both agree on is subjugating women. That's the only thing.
Well,
they'll put down their swords.
Yeah, that's the only common ground. The only common ground they have is to keep women down. It's amazing.
Yeah, they'll be on a battlefield and they'll be fucking hacking at each other with swords and guns and shit. And some girl will yell off in the field and go, wait, what about who? What did she say? And all of a sudden, like, they're like, let's get that bitch. Right? Yeah, they'll come together with that.
That's crazy. That's crazy. It's a weird concept. But it was like, one of the things, because I've done a couple, I've been doing the consultations for a couple of years. How many? About 6 years now, right, Harry?
Okay. Consultations about six, yeah.
Yeah. And I get a lot of dudes from Ireland. I get guys from Scotland. I get dudes from the UK. From all over.
Yeah.
But there is a base level of sort of like housewifeness. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, no. You don't know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean by housewifeness.
Like cleaning and cooking. Like cooking meals.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. All right.
A desire to be kind of more of a homekeeper.
Right.
And that, okay. To fulfill that role, to choose
that
mammy.
Role. Be a mammy or a mother. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And to do those things. I mean, I there's this kind of movement to be professionals and stuff like that and learning how to read and stuff like that. But but there's, on a base level, it's that. And it's not, I find it to be not such a materialistic thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's it's like, well, first of all, like one of the, and I kind of half joking when I say it, but then there's a part of me that's like kind of serious. Like Dom Herrera has a great joke about Irish women. He said there's only tens and twos. There's no in between, right? There's no, she's all right. It's either you're stunning or you're a hound, right?
Right.
And there's tens or twos. But like, and the thing about American women is like, I blame the difference on hot moms.
Okay.
What do you mean? Like a hot mother, like a sexy, like nobody's taking care of their man anymore. And right. I know it sounds chauvinistic and I'm sorry if it does. It's not the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
But there's less care gone into your family because now you're at the gym. Have you seen moms on TikTok?
Oh yeah.
Like it's just, it's like hot moms is what's fucking like, I go to pick my kids up from school and I stand in the parking lot watching like what are you wearing? Like how, cause I grew up, I'll give you the name of a mom who lived next door to me. I don't even need to describe her to you. I'll just tell you her name and you'll go, all right, I see her in my head. Her name was Mrs. Gilbert. Right? I don't even have to describe her to you. You know what she looks like.
Right.
Now, nobody was trying to have a fantasy about Mrs. Gilbert.
Yeah, I got some friends who are mothers, man, and they're mothers of teenagers. And like, wait, you're bringing a teenager around you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think then that kind of gets, you know, but I think that's why Ireland kind of holds on to it a bit more because we don't have, again, I love Irish women, of course, but we just don't, it's not by the ratio, we don't have that many,
yeah,
you know, tens, to be honest with you.
Tens and twos. Are you married now or no?
Yes. Yes, I am.
How long have you been married?
16 years, I think.
Wow, were you married to an Irish woman or?
No, American.
Yeah.
American. Yeah.
How did that come about?
Met her in Dublin in Ireland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, Dublin. Ironic. Yeah. Was she on vacation or she was just hanging
out? She was on vacation. Yeah. And I went to a pub with my friends because I lived there. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting here doing a podcast. Like, it's weird. All right. You know?
Was it a difficult transition for you coming here or? You know, the way things are done or no? Or if you can kind of frame that, what the difference is.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't because I'm used to traveling everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
for
the longest time, like I would take something personal. Like, do you know what I mean? Like if you went to 7-Eleven, right? Or something like that, and you're online and you're buying something and all of a sudden you're talking to the woman or the person behind the register. How are you today? Oh, I hear it might rain. And you hear someone in the back, fucking hurry up. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it would take me like a week to get over that. I'm like, was I wrong? Like what? Cause Irish people, like they're very kind and friendly people. Like they really are. And everyone's because everywhere you go, there's a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go into like I said, a 7-Eleven or you're online or something, and if you hold up the line for an unnecessary second, like you've offended these people now. And it took me a while to kind of get hard here to get tough. You know what I mean? Even though I used to be a fighter back in Ireland, but it just took me a while to be very tough on the outside here too.
Emotionally, you know what I mean?
Give a shit, take that personal. Like, you know what I mean? To the point now where it's like, I wouldn't even look down. If someone yells now, I wouldn't even turn my head anymore. It's like, all right, that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I was thinking about this the other day too. It's sort of like, there's something that we do on the show. It's like the guys who have problems approaching women and something, so on and so forth. And I have like a plan. I'm actually working on a whole online school where I'll be able to teach, like, we, you know, there's techniques that I do to get guys more social.
Right.
And one of the things we do is we talk about laying the five bricks. It's going out for 8 weeks, talking to five women a day.
Okay.
Just not with the intention on getting a number or having sex, just paying a compliment, non-sexual compliment, just to talk. You know what I mean? How are you? Just something as easy as that. How are you today? Wow, your makeup is impeccable. I love your glasses. Like whatever it is.
Right.
Because it's funny how you said that in Ireland, there's this constant, everything is a conversation, right? So it becomes easy to talk because you're always talking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it does. And you kind of have, it's almost like over here, and I don't go to him, but I would with a, there's a certain comic, he's a friend of mine. And after every show, I can't mention his name because he's on TV a lot. Mm-hmm. But after every show we do together, he wants to go to a strip club.
Right.
And I don't, like, I'm not paying for some girls to pretend to give me attention.
Yeah.
But like, it's that mentality. Like sometimes guys who are shy go to a strip club, and these girls who are So now their confidence is up because they spent 2 hours talking to this girl, and then they'll go back out to a club or a bar, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, I've just got all this confidence all of a sudden." And I think
so it's even though it's fake, it's yeah. it kind of do you think like what do you attribute to that? Is it delusional kind of thing, or is it just the fact that you're talking?
It's almost like an appetizer. You know what I mean? You go out, and I think you're talking to like these girls that normally, if you saw that stripper with clothes on, you wouldn't walk up to her at a supermarket. But now mm-hmm. she's going to sit on a stool. She's going to face you. She knows the body language. She knows when mm-hmm. to touch your knee. Like they're professionals.
Right.
They're professionals at giving you attention. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like your confidence is up. So I talk to that one. Then another one might come over and you'll talk to that one. And then you go to a club and now you're kind of oiled up and you know
it's almost like you're doing open mics.
Exactly, right? You're running your set before you go out. You know,
it's interesting though, because, you know, like Harry and I, like we didn't frequent comedy clubs, but if there were comedy shows within the comedy club or somebody was doing something, we'd be in the comedy club. And man, I'd flip them every time, just about right, Harry. Every time
we've been in a strip club?
Yeah, like I've always flipped one. Like
at a strip club, yeah. Yeah, like, it's happened a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, where they're
but you genuinely don't give a shit. Yeah, so that's part of it, is you genuinely don't care. So you'll talk to somebody and you pay them no mind, really.
Yeah.
And you don't give them all the energy that everybody else gives them. You don't get excited and giddy, because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you still have the confidence after the fact, but then they're intrigued a little that you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then eventually,
I don't even know if they're intrigued. Their ego is hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're so accustomed to getting so much attention.
Yeah, now,
what's up with this guy where he doesn't give a fuck about my vagina? And I'm like,
yeah. Like, I've been told it's special all night long, and now all of a sudden it's not special anymore. Like, that's, they can't handle it, man. They can't handle that.
Yeah, it's fine. I was talking to somebody today, and he was saying how, I was saying how, you know, there's this, men are like, it's interesting. You said how you had to get accustomed to how people talk, and you know, if you in America, and how they're just so short, and you can't take that stuff personal.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that is that women never deal with it. Like, you can always give some pussy away. Even an ugly bitch.
Oh, without a doubt. You just got to hang in there. Hang on to the end of the night, and someone will pick it up. Someone's going
to
pick it up.
And if you're really aggressive, you don't have to wait till the end of the night. If you're aggressive enough to put it out there, look, you want in on this club or what?
Right.
You know, it's open for business. Your dude will bounce in a minute. And so I was talking about this today, you know, from the inception of you finding little girls attractive, and you first send that note, do you like me? Check yes, check no, right? And you get the sad face with the tears, right? you're learning how to deal with that kind of rejection already.
Right.
And so the rejection itself is something that we live with. It's like comics. It's like if you want to do a bit, and you want that bit to be, and it's a very nuanced or more prolific bit, you know that you got to go up and bomb. I mean, you get with time, you get better where, you know, okay, this is where the laughs, I know this is going to work and stuff, but you have to fail, because it's a trial and error thing. And we're so accustomed to that era, you know, just being rejected. It's like you said, we don't take it personal.
Right. But then some guys go the opposite, right? Like you and I, it would sound like we kind of like, all right, let me, what happened? What did I do wrong? Did my breath stink? Did I stutter? Was my fly open? Like, what the fuck did I, maybe I shouldn't open with that comment. It's creepy. Right. But then there's other guys that just don't learn from it. And as soon as they walk off, like, yeah, fucking bitch. And it's like, right. They hold on to that anger and that resentment then for the rest of the night. And every other girl is just treated with aggression, and then they'll never let that go. And then they'll never get a woman. They'll just walk around with that. Just that.
I kind of feel like that's a more of a new phenomenon. than it is now with the dating apps and stuff like that. It's a, because you, what did you do? Did you box or did you MMA or what did you do?
I kickboxed in Ireland. Okay. And then when I came over here, I boxed because there was no kickboxing. Everything was MMA when I moved over here.
Yeah.
So I went from being like a European champion kickboxer to just going into the Golden Gloves over here because there was no kickboxing in the middle.
Right. Well, it's interesting because even that, you know, it's funny. I'm on the way in here. My neighbor across the street, his son is, you know, his son is kind of soft, but his father is, he's got him in martial arts every day. So I'm like, hey, how's karate going? And he's like, bad, you know, but his pops knows that no matter what happens, that the idea of putting yourself out there, being a, you know, I mean, I'm quite sure they're not punching him in the face, but even that physical contact, there's something to that. It's something social, you know?
Yeah. It also will build up this confidence that you don't know you're building. Like, that's the thing about it. You don't walk around all of a sudden, your shoulders come back and you seem taller walking like this 10-year-old kid. I don't know how old this kid is you're talking about.
Yeah, he's about 9, 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but out of nowhere, like, that confidence is just going to realize he's different, but he doesn't know what the reason why. He's not going to be able to turn and go like, oh, it's because martial arts. It's not, but he's just going to become, he's just going to become different. And he's going to realize that. So it's so beneficial. Listen, you should teach your kids to fight regardless. And I know we live in a world now where people are fucking soft. Yeah. I'm like, listen, no, go fucking fight.
Yeah.
Every kid needs to learn to throw a punch or get punched.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, because people are too like soft nowadays, man. And you need to get punched at least once in your life to realize, like, all right, if I say shit, I'm gonna get smacked in the mouth for it, and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. It's just, you know, all these things I call the broadband bullies. You know, like, these guys are really tough on the internet. Harry was telling me that, Harry, tell that story we were talking about yesterday that happened at the stand. We won't mention any names.
Oh, yeah. There was a guy who was tweeting.
Hey, you know what? You can mention names. It's fine. It's just fine.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Luis Gomez.
So right. Luis was there was some guy. I think his name is Jake Flores or something. I don't know him too much.
I may have seen this tweet vaguely as I'm swiping by. I think I may have seen something about
it. Yeah, there's a bit of controversy of it. But he was talking quite a bit of shit towards Lewis, I guess. And then so Lewis found out he was going to be on this at the same club one weekend or one night.
Oh, he's a comic.
He is a comic, yeah. Okay. In New York at the stand or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Lewis goes, all right, I'm going to wait around and talk to this guy. This guy's been talking a bunch of shit on Twitter. So I want to kind of confront him. So Lewis waits till the guy gets there and then immediately kind of goes after him, like getting in his face and going, what do you got to say now, pussy? What do you got to say now? Huh? And the guy had nothing. He said nothing. He just kind of cowered, looked down on the ground and was like, come on, grow up. Let's grow up and blah, blah, blah. Like, which is what a lot of people do when there's some physical altercation after the fact. Like, hey, this is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, he just kind of looked, that was kind of sad. He looked like a puppy dog that was like, and Lewis didn't beat him up because he could have. He could easily. Right.
Yeah, but he wasn't giving him nothing back to even.
Wasn't giving him anything.
Couldn't save face. Oh, that's
and then he
bad.
Just like took off.
Is his girl there too? Because that's funny if it's in front of his girl.
I don't know if it was in front of his girl.
That's humiliating.
I do believe he wrote up on a pizza thing or whatever. Like, I think he delivers pizza or something. Because I remember Lewis was going to throw his pizza box. Like, he had like a pizza warmer, which is like, come on, bro. You don't got to do that. And I think luckily, I think even Lewis was like, you know what? This has gotten sad. I don't need to fucking chuck his hot pizza box. I think Lewis was more confused as to what the fuck it was.
Yeah,
right. He picked it up like he was gonna do some damage. Like, what the fuck is it? Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like that. If that's the guy's livelihood, you're like, all right. I mean, I already won.
So there's some stories about Lewis supposedly assaulting him and her together.
Like, that's what I saw. I'm not gonna quote the tweet, so I don't want Lewis coming after me saying I fucking said this when I didn't.
Yeah.
But from when I looked like the guy who argued that he's saying Lewis spit on her or something. Like, I don't.
And the thing saying, is, Harry was there and none of that happened.
I don't ever recall her
people are full
getting
of shit,
spit
man.
On. I don't recall her. I know he definitely got into Jake Flores' face. So I guess you could. I don't know. My memory was that
it's
wasn't
not like he
that
punched
much,
him in the mouth either.
He didn't punch him in the mouth either. But I guess in theory, maybe you can argue that he was a quote unquote assaulted, I guess. But I definitely know he didn't do anything.
Good
to,
for Lewis, too, though. To like, not enough people follow through. Right. And especially like, listen, I had an incident here and I don't want to call this guy out because I think he learned from it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a comic guy, like there's a comic I know, and you probably know him too. And I'll you know what? Maybe I'll put
tell
the
me
name.
After. You yeah, tell I'll, me after.
I'll put this guy in the chat right now, right? So, so this guy is one of my favorite comics, and he's fantastic. So there you go, right? So I don't know if you know him.
Yeah. Right. I do know him. Yeah.
Right. So he does. He kind of not quit comedy. He took some time off recently. Right, he took some time off to go pursue
him and I were really tight at one time.
Right,
really,
but he's a machine. Like he's one of those guys that rip it apart, and he kind of he gets in his own way, which is fine. We all have our own self-destructive issues. Mm-hmm. So he quit comedy. So okay. I'm at a show. Now again, he took a sabbatical because he's off studying. So I go to a show the other night, and I do a guest spot. Just turn up to the club. Hey, can I go up and do 10? Yeah, sure, go up and do 10. So there's another guy headlining. And all of a sudden, the guy didn't steal his jokes, but he stole his whole persona.
You know what I mean? I mean, I know what you mean. It's fucking the guy you're talking about has a very distinct persona.
It's how he yells, how he does accents, how he does
paces.
Rhythm, he explodes, then he whispers, and he fucking explodes again. And there's something weird about, like, it's bad enough to steal someone's jokes, like that's scummy enough, but I think it's weirder if you steal their fucking persona.
Do
you know what I mean? Like, if I went up and started doing my act, but like I did it as Dice.
You
know what I mean? That's fucking creepy, man. So I waited after the show, and I said, hey man, you know he didn't quit, right? And they go, what are you talking about? I go, look at you're long enough in the business now. Because listen, when we all start, right? When you start comedy, I can't speak for you, but
we all mimic
somebody, right? Because you don't have your own voice yet. You don't know. I don't know what to do on stage. I don't know what will I do with my hands. How do I move? Do I move? Do I sit? Do I stand? So you kind of, for the first maybe year, possibly two, you like, I can say right now, like I took on the mannerism of Billy Connolly, Scottish comedian, because he was the only comedian I knew. I know so many guys did Regan. People do Attell.
We used to call it, like when I used to talk to Patrice, we used to talk about these iconic kind of stylistic comics that birthed all these other comics. Yeah. Like, for instance, a lot of people like, you know, you could argue that Patton Oswalt is a baby of Marin.
Right.
You know, it's become something different. Attell birthed a whole bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
What you call it? Todd Barry was another dude.
Attell. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've even had comics who now we like iconic dudes like a guy like Ted Alexandro.
Right.
What I remember telling him, he goes, yeah, man, I absolutely loved. He said he loved Todd Barry. He loved that low energy. And he loved Dane Cook. So if you think about Ted's kind of a low energy physical dude. You know what I mean? You can see. If I don't say it, you don't know it. But as soon as I say it, you go, oh, fuck yeah.
Now that you pointed out. But so I said to this guy, I was like, you know, he he's not gone. Right. And I understand you're too long in comedy to be influenced.
Right.
You know what I mean? By now, you should have definitely got your own style. But in general, like nobody would call, a lot of people don't call people on their bullshit when it needs to be done. And so I think like if this guy started with Lewis for some reason, then fuck it, dude, well, the other thing was that
I forgot about was he talked an amazing amount of shit. Lewis shit on him. He ran away. And then he started talking shit again on Twitter immediately, like within the hour.
Yeah.
He learned nothing.
Yeah.
Because you live in a world where you can't beat the fuck out of somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Which you can, again, though. That's the problem. People think you can't, but you fucking can.
Well, I guess. But then
the consequences behind it is so
rough, man. That's the problem.
I say this all the time, though. When I was a kid, Doug, I remember having a fight. It was three of my dudes and five or two other dudes on Broadway and 47. And the cops let us shoot a fair one. I mean, it wasn't a fair one because it wasn't even, but they did it until until it looked like somebody was going to get hurt. They broke it up. And then we went and then I went to see Marked for Death with Steven Seagal. Seagal.
That guy, holy shit.
So it's now, as soon as there's an altercation, everybody gets locked up. You know what I mean? There's no who started it, who didn't start it. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So the guy, you told the guy, and what did the guy say?
So here you go. He just said, what are you talking about? I go, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Like, you waited till he left and you took on his whole, like, he sounds just like, I'd almost respect it more if he said, I am a blank impersonator. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I'm a cover band.
If I was a Dice impersonator, like Tim Dillon put up a story this week about a Rodney Dangerfield impersonator. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd almost respect that, like a Bob Dylan cover band, but he wasn't.
It's a cover band, yeah.
So I go, man, like you just waited till he left. I said, it's kind of scummy, it's kind of creepy, and he was like, all right, Mick, whatever. I go, man, like I got nothing against you. I said, but like you just need to be told that that's not right.
Yeah. You know? It's funny. I just started reinventing. I started rewatching the whole. So I think it's been a year now that Mencia has been showing up and doing, like, because of Bobby Lee's, he's doing Bobby Lee's podcast and stuff in there. And he you watch this dude, and he's a freaking sociopath.
Right.
Like, he's literally saying he didn't steal jokes, and the reason why people don't like him is because he agrees that he was an asshole. He says, you know, when I came in, Eddie Griffin and Paul Mooney used to bump you at the store, and they would do 45 minutes. And he goes, when he got his chance, he did the same thing. But then there's stories about him doing people's joke before he brought them, doing people's closer before he came up, and stealing jokes and trying to bury people and just all kinds of stuff. And so what's interesting is, I don't want to go too far on the comedy aspect of it, but when you talk about the authenticity of who you are as a person, finding your own voice, finding that level of authenticity in relationships, it's the same thing. That lack of authenticity makes you unattractive. It's not because the woman you may be pursuing gets it, because she might not even know what persona. Right. What happens is, and you'll know this about, you know, as a fighter, like, look, I mean, I bare knuckle for it for years. Like,
yeah, me too. It's a lot of fun.
It's but the bottom line, it's you're in there. It is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you those guys are some of the nicest guys in the world. I mean, not all of them, but I mean, for the most part, they're the calmest, because when it's on the line, it's on the line. You get punched in the face, and so you approach people in a way that you know that you can be punched. You act in a way that I used to say this, tweet like you could get punched in the fucking mouth.
Well, that's I fucking bugs. I remember, like, being in my car recently, and this guy was being a dick in the car, and I was driving in a neighborhood, not on a main road. And I pulled up beside him. I go, motherfucker, this is not like Twitter. Like, I will follow you to your house and beat you on your lawn in front of your kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't act like, because for some reason, when people are in cars, they're in this protective bubble. Like, I can do what the fuck I want in here. Yeah, I can give you the finger. I can yell some racial slurs. Yeah. I can, for some reason, dig in my nose for gold.
Yeah, it's almost this false sense of security. They're just digging away, like, dude, what are you, like, I see you. There's glass.
Like, and I'd say the same with online. It's like, you can't touch me. I'm online.
Yeah, I'll find you.
Oh, I will. Like, if you're serious about that, then here I am. I'm at this place. But listen, I'm old enough. I own a house now.
Yeah, I got kids.
I am. My days of, like, looking for fights are long over. You know what I mean?
They're long over.
But I'm not going to take shit from anybody, from anyone, like anyone.
Well, it's interesting that when you talk about the authenticity of being. So there's something that I've been exploring is not having that authenticity, like being a fraud about who you are. It's not just being exposed,
right?
It is an attitude that you hold, because even if nobody else knows that you're a fraud, it comes through your pores. It comes through you. It's in your walk. It's in your talk. It's in your, it's in the things that you say. It's in the movies you watch, the things you read. It literally, it's just like what you said about a young kid who takes martial arts.
Right.
All of a sudden, there's this masculinity that comes out. His shoulders are back. There's a level of discipline. He doesn't really understand how that is. But the same thing is true the opposite way. The fraudulence is something that's in you. Even when you, I was discussing this with somebody. In fact, last night, I have this analogy that if you sweep the kitchen floor, there's always that line of dust at the dustpan. There's certain guys that go and pick up the envelope and pick it up, or get a newspaper and pick it up. And right. There's guys that sweep it under the refrigerator.
Sure.
I go, now, we sweep it under the refrigerator. Nobody knows until the refrigerator breaks and the repairman is coming in. Now everybody's panicking. They're pulling out. You got brooms. You got scrapers. You're trying because now you don't want to be exposed of that the fact that you got the Sahara Desert underneath your fucking refrigerator. But the point is, even when you're not thinking of that, you know there's an innate awareness that you are sweeping shit under your refrigerator. Do you know what I mean? Like
especially in relationships too. Like you might get a girl based on your stories, you might get a girl on what you say, but eventually that guy you're selling, He has to be there. He has to show up every day.
Or else
like you're going to get found out.
Yeah.
You know, and it might even be unintentional because you might be out there exaggerating a story that's somewhat true just to get that girl. And then all of a sudden, after a while, she sees that, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
This is not the guy I signed up for.
And, you know, and it's the funny thing, the way I analyze that is, me and Harry talk about this all the time, how, you know, when a woman decides to go on a date with a guy, she has to consider that you could kill her or rape her. Like that is on the table. So whenever there's an incongruency to who you say you are, incongruency means that you're being deceptive. And deceptive reads as unsafe. And so she doesn't know why all of a sudden she doesn't like you, but she doesn't because you're being incongruent.
Right.
She's got to get out of there immediately.
They're wired too, man. Like just like men have the wiring to bullshit, women also have that bullshit detector.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, at least the smart ones do. Right. Oh, yeah.
Little minuscule ticks and stuff that they give up. And so this level of authenticity is important. We had a really good podcast with Greg Stone on, and Greg was like, you know, Greg's, you know, self-professed nerd. And he, you know, even when you do his podcast, he's got action figures all over the place. And he said, you know, initially, you know, he's married now, but initially he used to hide the action figures. Here's a crazy thing. He makes his own Star Wars figures and shit. Like he'll peek like, and when you think of, you know what I'm saying? Like a dude, like you will get, you go like, how, remember Harry, we were like, that's dope as shit. Like
that's cool as shit, man.
Yeah. We were like, damn cool. Pretty neat. You start assembling pieces together and then he paints them and you're like, are you fucking like, how amazing is that?
Right.
And in the real sense, he was hiding that.
He used to hide it when girls would come over. He used to like put them away and stuff and try to like just try to not show her the stuff. He'd have to clean out his old place, put it back.
He's got shelves and displays and stuff. So you imagine you got to wipe all of this out to hope you don't get laid when it's the thing that would get you laid in the first place.
Yeah, I think something like that. Like, I mean, there's some people that you know Ray Goots, right? I know you.
Yeah.
You ever been to Ray's house? Ray, there's no way Ray's hiding any of that shit. No. Ray has
fucking
no choice.
Impossible.
He's no choice but to be Ray. It's like he's no wallpaper. It's just DVD of the greatest load of shit you've ever watched.
Yeah.
In your life, you know what I mean? And it's like, but he's still 100% him, and he can't hide it.
Yeah. You know, it is. It's an interesting thing. A woman will accept you for who you are if you're bold enough to tell her who you are. I mean, and if she's not into it anyway, what are you doing anyway? Like, this is not the chick. You want a chick to go, you make your own action figures? Like,
right. But there's also a level of timing of that, though, too, right? You have to impress, but you want to be yourself. you know yourself out the gate is not going to do it. Like if you go to a restaurant with a girl.
I don't know if I agree with that, but go ahead.
But for an example, right? Not all examples would work for that, right? But like say, okay, let's say your first date is a movie and a piece of pie at the diner. That's right. That can be done. You watch the movie, you go to the diner, you talk about it, you find out where you are. You know what? Oh, you like comedy? Do you like horror movie? Whatever. You have that conversation. You compare movies. But if you go to where do you want to go to eat? Your first date, and you go to this nice restaurant. Now you fast forward 3 years, you're in a relationship. You might say, listen, honey, it's I got a few bills coming out this month. Can we not go to that restaurant? Can we go to this instead? I don't have the money. Like your opening statement would not be that on a first date. Like it's a bit I'm not saying you go from fucking zero to 100.
I see what you're saying, but I also, Harry, what do you think? I mean, because
it's a balance of just believing in what you believe in and just going, yeah, if you're not into it, that's fine. I know my girl now, every once in a while, there's things she goes like, oh, thank God you don't like Disney World, or thank God you don't like Star Wars. Like, I'm not into sci-fi. She goes, I don't know if I could be with you if I was in a sci-fi. I go, nah, you would. You'd still be with me.
Yeah, but you'd still be with me. You're fine into it, though. Like, I'm not allowed to watch fucking a Mickey Mouse cartoon and laugh.
I mean,
but it's all believing in what you believe in and like, hey, this is what I enjoy. You don't have to enjoy it or whatever, but it's all about being confident in what you have, but being proud and, you know, making sure you have everything else taken care of. Like what people view when they talk about collecting action figures, it's like, if you're living in your house and you've got nothing going on, you have no job and you're in your mom's basement, and on top of that, you collect Star Wars toys, it's not a great resume. But listen, you can do almost anything. You can go, yeah, I'm living at my mom's place because I'm saving money because I'm moving out to a place, or I'm taking care of my mom. Like, whatever it is, if you're working towards something, that's what women respect. It's like, yeah, I'm staying at home because I rather save my money. That's what I'm doing because I have this dream I'm chasing. Yeah. That's what they're passionate about. Here's my plan. As long as you have a plan and you're working on something, you execute it. That's what they care about. That's what
they care about. You know what's interesting?
More than anything
else. Even if you don't have the plan and you're honest about the plan and you're willing to go, yeah, this is what I do. I don't do that. So you want to go. 9 times out of 10, they'll be like, well, I just thought it's more about the conviction to. So I think in a way, I guess why I'm pushing back on that is because we have an idea.
Also, one second. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt. But if you go, hey, yeah, I'm into these things. And she goes, ew, gross. Why would you want to be with that? Yeah, get the fuck out. Why would you want to be with that person anyway? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I remember dating a girl once and she was. And you know, I'm a really kind dude. Wherever you want to go, I'll go. I'm not really picky. And then and one day she goes to me, she says, you know what? I'm going to have to put my foot down.
Oof.
And I'm like,
pull over, get out.
So I didn't. But now, here's the thing. The reason why I wouldn't pull over, get out is because I don't even want to give her a reason to say how. So I didn't say anything. I started the car up. I took her home, right?
Where was this? Where were you? On a date or something? How long had you known this?
We had been dating. She goes,
Do you remember what about?
Yeah,
not that it matters.
I like, you know, Harry, whatever I do, you know, I'm indulgent.
Right.
So whatever food I eat is the best. If I'm going for burgers, I'm going to Soup and Burger on Broadway. If I want a grill burger, if I want a fast food, I'm going to go to BurgerFi across the street. I won't go to Five Guys because Five Guys wraps their burgers in foil and the steam salt wets the bread, whereas BurgerFi matches and pay. Like, I'm real particular.
You're a connoisseur of junk.
If you pastrami, I'm going to Cats. I might also go to Sarge's, and I'll go to pastrami clean, but I'm not going to just get it. You know what I mean? And she will grab anything close. Right. If it's pizza, it'll be shit pizza. You know, if you ask me the best grandma pizza, I'm going to tell you go to Ben's or McDougal. But if you go, well, how's the regular slice? No, don't eat the regular slice. Okay. You want the regular slice, you go to Joe. Like, I'm like that.
Okay. And so you indulge your.
I indulge myself. Yeah, and so when she said, I want some pizza, I took her to get, I go, well, what do you want? Just a cheese slice. So I drove from uptown to Joe's.
That's downtown, right. Whatever. Yeah. But near Bleecker.
And she doesn't like to drive in the city. Now, first of all, I'm the one that's driving.
You're driving. Yeah.
Yeah. But the stress of driving is what she's uncomfortable with, which as a guy in a real sense, why would that matter? Like,
yeah.
Like my point is, if you tell me I'm really uncomfortable driving around in the car in the city, wherever I'd rather grab something, wherever I have no problem with the compromise. I would go, yeah, okay, we'll grab something here, but I'm not eating it.
Right. I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Because my conviction is it's okay that's what you want, and I'd have no problem making a compromise. It's just fair game. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to bend my morality or my foundation or my boundaries for, I will compromise them, but I'm not going to. So I drove and she got, you know, I hate this. I hate driving. So I'm going to have to put my foot down. And I was like, I didn't even say anything. So, and I've had somebody say to me, well, what did you say?
Did you stop and get the pizza?
We got the pizza, and she's eating the pizza, and I go, she goes, I start the car up, and I drive her home. She lives about an hour away. I don't have a conversation. I don't say nothing.
You didn't say nothing during the ride?
So we can
turn the radio on. Radio on or off?
No radio.
Love it. Wow. Thank you. Love it. No, love it.
Silence. Jesus. Right? We're gonna be uncomfortable. We all.
That's like a Russian hitman shit. Like just.
We get to her house. She goes, "You want to come up?" I go, "Absolutely not." She goes, "Okay," and then she gets out, and I pull off.
You don't open the door for her.
Just speed off.
And then I go, and I'm with not the, having this conversation.
With the speed of a Russian Uber driver.
So, you just like,
floored the fuck out of there.
What did you say? I didn't even speed. That's the thing. I wouldn't even do that. I don't even want you to think I'm angry. I just want
I
you
get
to.
It.
It's because if you think about it, you know, with anybody,
you
man,
didn't do
woman,
a baby
otherwise,
driver style. You didn't go baby driver style.
Indifference is the worst thing to swallow.
Dante had his hands 10 and 2 on the wheel.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Seatbelt checking the mirrors.
Seatbelt adjusted the mirrors.
She's like, good night. I was like, good night.
And that was the last time you saw her.
It's because you got it. Well, it's interesting because now I got a call the next day. You know, I realized I shouldn't have said that. So I didn't even have to explain it. So the point is, if you're arguing about something, if you lead off with the argument, you're negotiating without knowing what your leverage is.
Right. I got it.
If she calls me back and says, listen, can we talk about this? Now we're having a discussion about this, but in the context of the fact that she understands that this is at that you've crossed the line and this could mean we're done.
That's an argument that women, from my experience, don't like. When I argue, I'm very calm. And this is me. It's
yes.
Like, let me get my point across. I don't want to insult you. I don't want to yell.
Right.
Because I watched my parents do it for years and there was nothing productive in it.
Right.
And it's like, and then they get pissed off when they're yelling and you don't match their voice or match their tone. Like, you know, what I always used to do was like, which was kind of sneaky, but it always worked. I would go, look, I'm sorry you feel that way. They would just hear the words, I'm sorry. And they're fine with that. They didn't exactly hear what I said. Sorry.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm saying, like, I'm sorry you're a fucking psychopath, but I'm saying, I'm sorry you feel that way. And they're like, okay, I'm good with that. He apologized. Like, no, I didn't.
No, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry you feel that way. Don't worry. I think that expired a couple years ago.
Yeah, that,
I'm sorry
yeah,
you feel that way.
That
people
might not
have
work
caught
anymore.
On to. Yeah.
Yeah, they read my book.
Yeah.
But I think it's a weird thing. It's funny. I was counseling a dude last night, and the dude's got this new girl, and the girl she's Muslim.
Okay.
Good, really good friend of mine. She's Muslim, but she doesn't believe in. She's not Muslim. Her family is from Middle East, but
okay.
She's Muslim, and he really likes her and stuff. And so he's saying to me, you know, I mean, we're thinking about taking another step, but in order to do that, I would probably have to convert. And he goes, well, she's, you know, her family's Muslim.
Wait. Who said that she would have to convert? He said in order to keep the relationship moving.
In order to marry her.
Right.
And with her parents, he would have to create this facade.
And he's got to not do it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's too much responsibility to change your religion. Like, even if you have no beliefs, that's like someone telling you every day now you have to wear a green shirt. Like, what? No. It'll keep my family happy.
Right.
And it's not even that. I mean, that's more extreme. No matter what religion you change to.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me just because I want to be with this girl, I have to change my whole, if you want to be with me, you have to believe the earth is flat now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not going to believe that.
Right. Well, here's an interesting thing. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know this about Islam, but if you quit Islam, you're what you call an apostate. Which is punishable by death, right? It's punishable by... Now, I'm not saying everybody does that, but that is the case. I go, dude, what are you going to... You going to get a prayer cloth? You going to pray 5 times a day? You and your girl are in the States eating bacon on Ramadan, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, you have little kids and then you go to the Middle East to meet with her. And now you got to... do you understand how insane it is?
Like, and kids will all rat you out too. Like, if you go back up with your kids, like, look how great we are as Muslim. Like, dad eats bacon on a Friday. What the fuck? Like, all of a sudden, no.
Kids are snitches.
That's exactly the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, but it's like to literally, and I go, and so, but the girl herself is she's living the lie. Because she's pretty much atheist now anyway.
Right.
And so she's putting on this facade whenever she goes sees her parents and stuff. And I'm like, and you know, the reality
is... So now you
want to
spend the rest of your life living a Three's Company episode where you got to run around from room to room pretending that you're not eating pork and you're...
It's like, Mrs. Doubtfire when he's running back and forth.
Right, yeah.
So insane. I mean, and I was like, dog, are you really going to do this? I go, and the reality and something I say is, you know, is always interesting is that as a man, you know, this being man school too, as a man, you have to be strong enough to protect yourself from her emotions. Also, you have to be strong enough to protect your relationship from her emotions. Right. And you have to be strong enough to protect her from her emotions.
Now, what do you say, Dante, when women go, like men aren't emotional?
That's not that. I don't. When they aren't men emotional? I'm not arguing. I'm not having a discussion with you because I'm not discussing this. In a sense, I had a girl ask me. She goes, "What do you think about women proposing to men?" And I go, "If a guy doesn't ask you to marry him, he doesn't want to get married."
Right.
To the same token, I tell guys all the time, never ask a girl to be your girlfriend. If she's not asking you, if she's not going, what are we doing?
Right.
She don't like you either.
That's a good point.
And the reality is that the difference. And so they say, well, why should I have to ask that? Women say, why should I have to ask? And I, because there's a time element. Like, I'm 55 years old. I got a 1 year old.
Right.
Like, there is a biological clock that you, what your consideration is. And I'm not saying that I'm insensitive to it, but it's not on the front of my, on the front burner for me, because it's not my concern. And I have to put my happiness first, just like she has to put her happiness. And if she's looking for to have kids or do this or do that or be married or whatever, then she has to be honest about that as well.
Yeah.
And, and there has to be some conviction about that.
I agree. There's nothing, you know, worse when you see a couple at Disney and she's proposing in front of the castle. Ugh. And it's like, you have demasculated him in front of fucking everybody, in front of Disney.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Mickey, now, Minnie.
Yeah, he's like, fuck, now I'm emasculated. Now there's no coming back from that. And I think you're setting the tone for your relationship. And like you said, like, all right, maybe he hasn't saved up enough for the ring yet. And he hasn't got around to it, but this fucking chick jumped the gun and she ruined his surprise. I mean, my brother in Ireland woke up on Valentine's Day, forgot it was Valentine's Day, and his girlfriend gave him something, and then he went, "You want to get married?" Like, I want you to go pick out the ring because I'm always bad with jewelry, whatever. And they're married now with two kids, bless them. And but he only asked her to marry her because he forgot to get her a gift on Valentine's.
Was he into marrying her in the first place?
I didn't ask him, but I mean, they're still together. They're still happy, I guess. We got two kids, but I think it was funny that he was like, "I'll fucking ask you just cause I've no gift." Like, it's no better. It is not. You don't get out of that. Like, you don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, clearly they got two kids, and I hope he's happy. But Jesus Christ, man. It's just, I was like, Doug, you don't even know when you're. What do you got to now? You got to take a class on the practices of Islam, and then you got to hold it together because you and your wife, you're eating bacon on Ramadan and like, you know what I'm saying? And then you go and you got to check. It's insane. And I go, if your parents are willing to say, if their love for you is conditional, unfortunately it's painful,
right?
But isn't it better that you know that their love is conditional based on, they're like, you're dead to me if you're not a Muslim,
right? Yeah, it puts it all in perspective for you. Like, yeah, that, you know, that's, they're not the people you want to be. They're not going to get your back when you fucking need them, you know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah, unless of course you know you're not even baking on Ramadan.
You never want to say you're willing to do something that you have no intention of doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why
promising
do that?
My wife to go parachute jumping. Like, sure, we'll go, honey. I'm not going parachute jumping. Out of your mind.
Yeah.
Out of your mind.
And you know what? The funny thing is, they'll always, you know, they'll respect you more if you go, "I am absolutely not doing that." Mick, plug your social media, your podcast, all this stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Mick Thomas Comedy on everything, on Twitter and on Instagram. And my podcast, Cheaper Than Therapy, is out every week. It's on everywhere you get your podcast from.
Man, Mick, it was good fun having you on, dog.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I really do. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you coming on. Harry, talk to me.
All my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. Check out my YouTube channel. Check out my stand-up clips. And then also join us over at Manschool 202 on Instagram and Patreon. That's where we're doing some of the bonus stuff. We're gearing up to do some more specials and stuff. We haven't done enough in a while, but we're getting there. We appreciate all you guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Everything with me. Yeah,
come and join us. We're going to do some Q&A, and we're going to do a little bit of advice.
Yeah, please,
so join us over
at
Patreon.
All the Patreon, please send us some questions and stuff like that, stuff that you're worrying about or you're thinking about. Hit us up. Everything, my stuff is on The Dante Nero. Dante, Google me. You know what it is. If you need a one-on-one consultation, go to DanteNero.com. Click on consult. Follow me on Instagram, YouTube, all that shit. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all. We are out. Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero. Hosted by Dante Nero with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.